Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. Is that a little brisk iced tea? What is that?
That is Minute Maid Zero, baby.
Minute Maid Zero.
Fantastic.
Send the check, Minute Maid.
Yes.
You can't do – that's why you turned it backwards. You're a pro, so you couldn't see the label.
I know. Right. Yeah, I did. I had it the other way around. Then you gave them free pub because you were what is that?
I did. Send the check, Minute Maid. I got a question for you today, Ben.
Okay.
And I have not hinted, I have not given you any kind of indication on what it could possibly be, but it was a conversation.
I'm a little worried about it, honestly, because usually we discuss things before we talk about them.
It's a conversation that Zach and I started kind of scratching the surface on, and then it really kind of blew my mind a little bit the more I really thought deep into it. So here's the question. Auburn plays Florida week 4 at home.
Okay.
Under the lights. John Summerall, Alex Golish, all the storylines involved. Okay. Who is this game bigger for? Wait, let me finish. I haven't given you the options yet. Who is this game bigger for? Alex Golish or John Cohen? Chew on that one
John Cohen.
A second. What's that?
John Cohen.
I wondered if you would just jump right in on one. Was that a hard one at all?
No. Nope.
Really?
Yeah. I think he has made enough decisions at this point that the Alex Golish hire is probably his last
decision. If it doesn't go well.
That is probably his last major decision. So, he already – and I think that Stephen Pearl is doing a fine job, and I think that he's heading the right direction. But he's already caught so much flack from the Pearl hire and the Nepo hire, quote.
I think it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't. Agreed. I know that, and you know that. As I call him, the Walmart fan does not know that and does not accept that.
But so, do you think – okay, let's talk about this. Let's unpack this, and, John Cohen.
And, by the way, Kyle, because I heard this the other day, and I had to remind somebody that I thought was a pretty good fan, he didn't hire Brian Harsin. Man, he got Harsin and Freeze. I said, whoa.
No, he fired Brian Harsin, actually.
Yeah, he fired Brian
Harsin. That was one of his first things.
It's like, hey, congratulations on being athletic director. We need you to fire the coach.
Yeah, that was – they actually were waiting till they got the athletic director pretty much to pull that trigger. So let's unpack this for a second because I think it's very interesting what angle you just took because you don't think – you personally – you don't necessarily think that a lot of the decisions that were made by Cohen, he had a ton of options. And you're saying that the Walmart fan probably – when I – Ben's description of Walmart fan is basically just somebody that casually watches.
And I call it – we on the air to keep from giving Walmart publicity, I call it the big box store fan. And the reason I say that is because if you go to a big box store, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever, and you ask the first 250 people their opinion on something, you'd be shocked at what – those are the regular everyday people. You'd probably be shocked at the answer you would receive.
So
that's why we call it. I call it the big box store fan.
The thing, though, Ben, is those folks don't make the decisions.
Right, correct.
So – does that – when you take it from that perspective, or when you say it's bigger for John Cohen, are you saying it's bigger for John Cohen, his career at Auburn, or is it bigger for John Cohen and his adoration with the fans, or maybe both?
A combination of both, I'd say.
Okay, so let's take the fan piece out of it and just talk about the decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that a lot of the decisions, like Stephen Pearl, like that whole situation – was not really in his control. Potentially the Hugh Freeze hire was not all 100% in his control, which that's what I believe.
Yeah.
And then this latest, you could put the latest, how everything played out with this most recent coaching search. But other than that, like, you still think that they would hold that against him, considering all the things? Or do you just think that he got one shot, he got one true shot, and, you know, he missed on his first guy, and then that first guy came in and beat Auburn at home in the SEC opener? Unpack it a little bit more.
Okay, so this goes back to him bringing on Freeze, and then even Steven, and I know you, as you just said, you've had the conversation of that's not necessarily – was probably not necessarily all 100% his decision. That probably came from higher-ups. However, it's – I do subscribe to what some of the, you know, talking heads of the world say, where, you know, when you become an athletic director, you get – basically, you get three hires. And of the major sports. And, you know, he didn't have to go through that with baseball. And clearly, Butch is doing just fine. So he's fine there. And he likes Butch, Mississippi State connection, all that kind of stuff. But he got Freeze, didn't work out. He got Pearl. That could save him. Honestly, could save him on that one, even though he wasn't 100% decision maker. And now he's getting Golish. Couple that with the fact that there have been some quote-unquote future revenue sports, I won't call them non-revenue sports, that we've missed on during his administration as well. And I know that doesn't move the needle for a lot of people, like the big box store fan, or even probably some of the higher-ups that are, you know, donating money. But you can't keep missing, and you can't keep providing a product. And you said it on the pod yesterday, where you look at the investments that are coming from fans and donors to the expansion of the stadium, to selling out seats, to you, he can't miss again. And if you let the guy that a lot of people thought were coming here beat the guy that you wanted to bring here at the 99th hour, keep in mind, late at night, almost a quote-unquote settle, I think that the boo birds start waking themselves up, regardless if they've got money or if they're a big box store fan or whatever they may be, and go, okay, it's getting to the point now where is the issue the administration? Is it not? And I told this story the other day, and I don't – there are some things about Cohen I don't like, but I think it's more of his idiosyncrasies that I have an issue with more than like decision making. But right now, who's more popular? Rhett Hobart, for everything he's done baseball wise and football wise and like program wise, or John Cohen? And I'd say Rhett Hobart probably is.
Well, who hired him?
Exactly. I get that. You know that, and I know that. But
see, this is here's the deal. I'm not a Cohen apologist by any means. I just want to be fair.
Right.
Okay. I want to be fair. And I'm going to be completely honest. Okay. If you subscribe to the idea that John Summerall was the number one target, do you think that's a stretch to say John Summerall was the number one guy?
I don't think it's a stretch. I didn't personally think he was the number one guy.
Course, don't care what you wanted.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it's a stretch?
I didn't think Golish was the number one guy either. So
no, I mean, well, so who do you think the number one guy was?
I have no idea. Honestly, I think that was a hot name. Summerall was a hot name.
Yeah.
So I think people assumed he was the lead horse in the race, and we got turned down so he could go to Florida.
Yes. And I think that's fair.
It is.
And I think that's accurate. Mm-hmm. I think that Summerall was the number one guy for the most part. And I think they were way down the road. And for whatever reason, Cohen couldn't close the door. Now, that's truly, for me, the only real time where I feel like this was all Cohen driving the ship since he's been here, maybe. Now, maybe you could say softball, but I mean, I'm not going to be ugly, but it doesn't move the needle as far as what drives Auburn athletics. Love those. I like the new coaches. One of their kids are the same age as, you know, my sons. I think they were in the same class this year. So great folks, and they may be able to turn it around. It's hard to get NIL there. It's hard to get NIL for women's basketball too.
they also got left with an empty cupboard, so they kind of having to start over. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. But the luxury you have as a volleyball coach or a softball coach, you also don't – national titles are not what people are asking for. They just want a little postseason play every now and then,
yeah,
and everybody's good.
Yeah.
So
they got I say all that to say this felt like the first time where Cohen could actually go do – and I can, like, truly evaluate. You know what I mean? Like, I can actually look and feel confident that Auburn wasn't just being Auburn and kind of getting involved. Right. They kind of let him run it. And I think with good intentions, he ran Summerall off. Now, trying to make sure he had this hire, trying to do a lot of things for him with good intentions, but not really giving Summerall the chance to actually evaluate that when he got here, which I'm actually kind of glad, because I don't know how I would have handled Summerall coaching the playoffs and trying to rebuild our team for, you know, the 2026 season.
I would not have done well with his personality when he went to Florida and some of the things he was doing, the hokey stuff with Twitter, the hokey stuff with – some promos. We
probably would have loved it.
I don't know that I would have.
We probably would have loved it.
I just got done with some hokey with Hugh, so I could have done. I just wasn't in that. I wasn't in that frame of mind, especially because when he came out with it, I was like, I'm kind of glad we dodged a bullet there. Now, here's what I will say, and I don't want to turn this into a Cohen bash session with me. Like, you're not an apologist. I'm not a dig his grave for him type deal either. I will say, from the people I've talked to, his personality could use some work. And
yeah, I could not care less about people, unless it's people that give money.
Yeah,
that specifically say they don't want to give money because of his personality, or he's a jerk to the wrong people. If it's like people that work for him and stuff like that, could not care less.
Yeah.
I don't agree.
I'm just some of the people you're and they haven't necessarily complained, but some of those people you're talking about, the movers and shakers, is they were used to the Jay Jacobs of the world.
We've always been that way. Auburn folks want to be coddled. They want their butt padded. They want this. They want that. And I agree. I don't think necessarily Cohen's all about that, but he's about I feel like he's about getting stuff done. He pissed off a lot of people by having the game moved. Okay. Yes. I don't think you can all the way replace that. But I think they've done one hell of a job bringing events to Auburn to at least supplement some of, or maybe even most of, what they've lost. I think it's hard to argue that when you talk about the concert series, you talk about the soccer game, so on and so forth. So he's getting stuff done, but you won't be able to deny the fact that if Florida were to come in here and knock off Golish, I don't think that's the end of Golish or writes the story on him. I think he's got plenty of time to change things. But what it does do is I think it really puts a target on John Cohen's back, rightly or wrongly, because of the perception that you missed on, you blew this guy, and then you got this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm of the belief that however you came up with him, even if you fell backwards into him, I think Golish is going to be pretty good. But that Florida game has a lot of pressure on it from a lot of different ways. But I think John Cohen is going to carry the most of it.
Oh, he's going to carry it because they're not going to – I mean – unless he really stubs his toe and wins only like three games, Golish is safe in this first year.
Yeah.
This is a try. And I think Golish understands that. But number two, he also understands it's an opportunity for him to win over Auburn fans by putting up a bunch of wins and getting them back. Because that's all, he said the right things. Golish has in everything that he said. He said, these people want to run the ball. These people want to win football games. These people, you know, his interview with David Pollack, he's like, hey, they asked me, when are we beating Georgia? When are we beating Alabama? Like, he gets it. So, Golish knows, number one, he's got a bulletproof vest on right now because it's his first year. But he also understands that he can take that bulletproof vest off midway through the season if he starts winning and winning convincingly and beats Florida and beats some other teams that he probably shouldn't beat. Whereas Cohen, I think he's still got to wear his vest all season, man. I think he's...
So that was – I was going to ask you this. All right, so take Golish and Cohen. A loss hurts Cohen way more than it hurts Golish. Yes. And then on the flip side, a win to me helps Golish exponentially more than it helps Cohen. It's really a tough spot that he's in.
It is. Like
you got to win it, but you don't necessarily get out of the woods.
Yeah.
With a win.
I firmly believe that is nail on the head. That is right. In other words, Golish can't lose in that Florida game. Like he may get some naysayers, but
depending on how it happens,
if he makes some stupid coaching decisions towards the end or something and blows it, then
they shut him out.
Yeah.
Like they make it to where like he can't score or whatever. Like that would be a disaster,
but
it's a tight game and something crazy happens. Like I'm with you. I don't think it necessarily.
Yeah. Cause you said it. I mean, for the most part, if they win, Golish looks like the guy that just beat the guy that was supposed to take the job. And if they lose, they're going to be like, thanks a lot, Cohen. See what you did again. So it is, I'm not saying that Golish is in a win-win situation or a can't lose situation, but he definitely is protected.
Yeah.
In my opinion, by the shroud of John Cohen and some of the possible scrutiny that could come his way throughout the rest of the season. And listen, and this is Auburn fans being way too picky. It even goes back to some of the comments that he was receiving, the administration was receiving for us losing in the Super Regional. I mean, I'm like, not everybody can go to Nebraska and play baseball. I mean, not that you're supposed to be pleased every year, but going to a Super Regional is a bigger thing than you probably give it credit for. But yet he caught a lot of flack for Auburn not moving forward in that. And so a loss to Florida on the guy that interviewed.
I don't really understand that.
That recruited this state, that was at Troy for the longest time, recruited this area. And maybe your personality or y'all's two personalities clashed in meetings and he decided to go elsewhere. And then he comes into your place and beats you. Yeah. That could pose a problem for you.
Yeah.
You don't understand which part that I said. Got long winded there.
I kind of lost my train of thought too. When you said, gosh, what was it that you just said? I totally went blank.
No.
So it must not have been that
important. Not been that important.
Oh, yeah. Cohen getting the blame for the Super Regional loss.
I know. Because he didn't hire Butch.
and they sold the dang crowd out and they brought in more stands and they made hot dogs and beer real cheap and it was a phenomenal experience. How does that got anything to do with Cohen? And if I'm not mistaken, Cohen's done a lot to get their NIL numbers up or help them get their NIL numbers up. That may be a lot of times what people gripe about as far as basketball goes. Like maybe he should do the same thing. I don't know that he's not, but can he do the same thing for basketball that he's doing for baseball and, you know, football and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I feel like he gets the boogeyman role and maybe some of it's deserved. I don't think all of it's deserved, but that's going to be a pressure pack game that he really needs. He really, really needs Alex Golish to win.
Agreed.
That wasn't that as hard as I thought it would be. I thought you'd have to think about it a little bit longer. Zach struggled with it. He's like, holy cow, this could be a whole show.
Did you warn him ahead of time?
No. I didn't think about it. I didn't know the question to ask ahead of time. It was kind of just flowed into conversation.
Yeah.
And I just kind of dropped it on him. He was like, whoa, that just blew my mind to think about. But reality.
You can tell him, you'd be like, Ben had an answer right away.
Yeah, Ben was like standing on his toes waiting for it. Let us know what you think. Let us know in the comments if you're subscribed to the YouTube Premium. If not, I guess, I don't know. Tweet at us or something.
But be nice.
But be nice. We got a, what do we call it, Barncast Live Thursday night. Make sure you're there for that. Again, I mentioned the YouTube Premium. You get this show video version every single day. You get the Village Vice post show.
What's going on Thursday night?
Nothing. We just get on live, baby, and just have fun.
Y'all didn't do a soccer show, did you?
No, and I got kind of got lamb blasted for it.
Well, and losing 4-1, I'm kind of glad y'all didn't do one.
Yeah, I would have said some really ugly things. I said some ugly things while I was watching that had a lot to do with just the sport in general that, okay, that frustrates me. So yeah, I would have discouraged a lot of people, particularly that probably are very passionate about soccer if that's, or football, whatever you want to call it.
It's soccer.
If that's the case, I'm not calling it football. Yeah. USA is going to the house, made it to the Sweet 16. There's one play I watched, but one of the goals they scored, I still don't know what the guy was doing. Still don't know what the goalie, what was going through his head, coming that far out to the point where
he whipped it. He chunked it. He literally stubbed his toe.
No, this is it that one, or is that the one where he came way out and then hit it with his chest and the guy stole it from him? And is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, he like stuck his foot in the ground when he was trying to kick it. Yeah, it was. What the comparisons disaster between the Bills kicker last year that did that. Do you remember that incident where the Bills kicker?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they were comparing.
If you are a goalie, please don't rip me for this.
You're asking the wrong person now.
Are you unrestricted as far as using your hands anywhere on the field?
No, you're not.
Or does it have to be?
I don't know the rule, but you are not unrestricted. There are some you can't – like if your guy's passing to you, you can't pick it up.
He can't. Yeah, that's why he couldn't grab it. He was outside. I'm looking at it right now. A goalkeeper cannot touch the ball with their hands outside of their penalty area. Why would you ever leave it? Why would you ever do that?
I don't know. I still say that offsides is BS because in every other sport, you try to get behind the defense, and you can't do that in soccer.
I've been told that that keeps it from being just like kick it long back and forth.
That, what do you think you're paying for? Like, we want some goals scored. Like, if you can beat a guy around the edge – if your guy can't keep up with
you. You can. You just have to wait until he kicks the ball, and then you go beat him.
That's stupid. That's like waiting until the quarterback throws the ball before the wide receiver leaves the line of scrimmage to beat his guy.
It would be like, yeah, I mean, it would be like stand over there, and then I throw it, and then you run and try to beat him. I mean, I get it. And there's some discretion there. It's not – I don't think it's like a perfect science. But basically, if you're not just – run into the other side of the, you know, run into the other side of the pitch or whatever you want to call it. For the most part, I think it's okay. But
you love this. I have not received any flack for it yet, but I did tweet last night. I said, so this is what it feels like to be a Notre Dame fan when you have to actually play competition.
Ouch. Ouch.
So true.
That's funny, man. It seems like the secret to becoming popular or getting traction on social media is crap talking other people's teams.
Like, yes.
You well, get way more action.
Nobody.
I had a TikTok that I put up of me essentially saying it was the whole South Florida thing where their value is way inflated, like their self value is way inflated. Yes. It was with around all the Brian Hartline comments. And I was like, guys, he was going to take the Arkansas job.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to leave you for the worst program in the SEC. And that thing has gone crazy on TikTok. It's like over 7,000 views, which is big for us.
It's also true.
It is. I mean, it's totally true.
I don't know why people have an issue with that. Truth hurts.
Hey, y'all, we started also, if you like listening to us and you like golf, we started back up the Dad Bod Golf Pod. So go find that anywhere you get a podcast. And we're going to talk a lot of YouTube and fun stuff and not just be like PGA Tour commentators because that's boring. So we're going to talk about it in a fun way. Y'all take it easy. We're going to get out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.